At the third stroke, it will be...
Hello and welcome, beautiful people, to the EUC Digest on Tour, an extra episode for your bi-weekly audio snack on everything EUC related. Today we're live and kicking from Citrix Summit in Orlando. My name is Ingmar Verheij, I'm your host for this episode, and with me in this show is Kees Baggerman. What's up, Kees?
Hey, Ingmar. I'm doing good, thank you. I'm looking forward to the next following week in Orlando. You know, that being said, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited to be here in Orlando for a great week at Citrix Summit. So for the listeners, Citrix Summit, you know, partners will be immersed in the latest Citrix technologies, spark connections with people from around the world, that's on the website from Citrix. And in this episode of EUC Digest, we'll inform you on what we've learned at the show. But more importantly, we're going to hear from some of the best experts from the field.
Yeah, throughout the week, we'll be interviewing various guests and ask them about their opinions and views, and we'll ask some of the Citrites, that's how Citrix people call themselves, and a couple of attendees.
So before we get started, Kees, are you just as excited as I am?
Well, given the fact that you work for Citrix, probably not as excited as you are, but I'm ready for the show.
That's good. I mean, you need to keep me honest here, right? I know I work for Citrix. This is an independent podcast, but you know, I'm just as community as you are. So, as with any large vendor conference, there's an opening keynote on day one, which is today, with the CEO, who's going to lay out the strategy and vision for the future.
Yeah, about that keynote, we're about to start. So, let's take off and have our first guest right after the keynote.
So, hi, can you tell us what your name is, your role, and what do you think about the keynote, which we've just seen?
Yeah, cool. So my name's Safi Obadilla. I've been with Citrix now for 10 years, and I've just moved into the role of field CTO for APJ. From a keynote perspective, you know, I was really excited. You know, I think Citrix is on a really exciting journey. It's been 30 years for us, and we've seen Citrix in a certain phase of, you know, primarily being successful with virtual apps and desktops and ADC, but, you know, with Citrix Workspace and where we're going, driving a higher agenda on employee experience, I think it's a really exciting time for Citrix and our partners as well.
Cool.
So, okay. Is there anything you're looking forward to the next coming days, something you expect, or something that might surprise our listeners or ourselves?
I think over the next few days at Summit, you know, I think we've been working quite heavily on our Workspace strategy, launching new capabilities with Workspace Intelligence. And I think this week it will be the first opportunity for partners to really get their hands on and learn more about what we're doing in that space and the value that it can bring to them and their customers.
So Citrix recently celebrated 30 years in the industry. What role do you think Citrix plays for customers in the coming years?
I think Citrix is an interesting one. I mean, for me personally, I fell into Citrix very early on in my career in the late 90s, and somehow Citrix has played a part of every job that I've done in the past. And I think the thing I enjoy most about Citrix is the fact that the technology that we have has a genuine impact on people and the way they work. It's not just a tech that sits in a data center or is invisible. It's something that directly impacts the way people work. You know, if you think about 30 years worth of experience in playing that role in delivering applications and data services, enabling people to work from anywhere, we've got really the opportunity to be a thought leader in what the future of work looks like. You know, how people are shaping their employee experience as it becomes a priority for organizations. And I think that's the opportunity that Citrix has to play a key role in defining what that future of work looks like for each organization.
So we heard David Henschel mention the term platform repeatedly. He called it an intelligent platform for work. So what's your thoughts on this shift?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think if you look at Citrix historically, we've been very much a product-centric company. People came to Citrix because they had a specific need or a use case for remote access or enabling people to work from anywhere, which was largely centered around virtual desktops. I think that the focus on platform is expanding that to understand that it's not just about Windows applications anymore, that the world is changing. People are using different types of applications, different types of services. And even beyond that, with where we're going with Workspace Intelligence to micro apps, we're shifting from just providing access to the services to actually changing the actions that people take to get their work done. And I think that's the really exciting part, and that's where I think a platform is necessary to bring those capabilities together to make it easier for people to consume those services, simplify the way IT is used, and ultimately drive a greater level of engagement and productivity for employees.
Would you say it's fair to say that Citrix is moving from a tactical to more strategical spot to a business enabler with the intelligent workspace?
Absolutely. You know, if you look at employee experience, it's not just an IT challenge or priority, it's a business priority. You know, in Australia, where I'm based, more and more organizations are putting people in the role of head of employee experience, and it's not an IT function. It's a function that traverses IT and facilities and HR. And I think for us, as you saw in the keynote, there's a focus on elevating the conversations we're having with customers to beyond the IT, to talk to the business stakeholders, to the head of HR, to the end users themselves, to really understand how we shape their future experiences.
So that requires different capabilities from the partners. We're at the Citrix Summit right now, which is a partner event. How do you see the cooperation between Citrix and their partners in enabling that business? Because it does require different skill sets.
Absolutely. It is different. You know, I think if you look at our traditional workspace solutions or our networking solutions, very technical focus capabilities, and they're still very, very relevant. Workspace intelligence is different. It's almost requiring people who have a business analyst or a business consulting capability to engage with customers, understand their workflows. The way people work isn't normally understood clearly by IT. They know the tools they need, they deliver the tools, but the day-to-day functions they perform is something that the business understands. So that's why we're putting a lot of investment, as you thought, in helping people understand the role of design thinking to extract those workflows, do use techniques like journey mapping to understand what those process workflows need to look like. Value engineering is, again, really important to quantify what those productivity benefits could look like for organizations. So, you know, I do think our partners will need to evolve, and we'll probably recruit a whole lot of new partners as well, you know, to help deliver in that space.
I think that's a great takeaway from this interview, is that partners need to invest in that business side of things to actually take the most advantage of the intelligent workspace.
Yeah, and if there's one thing you can recommend to the listeners, which tend to be a little bit more, let's say, the technical specialist, what would you recommend them on doing in the coming years?
From a Citrix perspective?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think everyone has their domain specialization in the Citrix world. Some people are focused on virtual apps and desktops. Some people are on our ADC or SD-WAN capabilities. You know, I think for partners, I think we wanted them to take a more holistic outcome-based focus. So it's not about a specific technology, but if I want to deliver a better outcome for the customer, it's going to be a mix of things. It's going to be, you know, if they're on a cloud journey, it's not just workspace and the aggregation of SaaS and web that helps, but complementing that with SD-WAN to improve the performance. So I think it's getting partners to take a much broader view, focusing on the outcome that they can deliver to the customer, then looking in the toolbox that Citrix provides of a whole various range of capabilities from workspace, networking, analytics, to work out what's the best outcome I can deliver for my customer.
I guess that that advice will go for end customers as well, because it takes two to tango.
Yes.
And it helps if a customer has that focus on business outcomes versus a technology-driven perspective.
No, that's right. And I think, you know, as you saw in the keynote, you know, one of our challenges is changing the perception of the customer of who Citrix is. You know, people, when they talk about Citrix, think about virtual desktops. And, you know, as Dave spoke about, you know, it's sometimes just seen as a legacy technology, or we'll use it for our old Windows apps, but in the SaaS world, we'll do something else. And I think the opportunity and responsibility for us as Citrix people and partners is to help do the education and build that awareness.
So can you tell the listener who you are and your role and what your first impression is of the keynote?
Yep, I'm Patrick Coble. I'm the VDI hacker, and I'm a security nerd at heart, and I thought the keynote was good. Security was said over 20 times in there when it was about contextual and attack surface growing in so many organizations. So I just thought it was really good. On top of all the partnery announcements, there was lots of technical things and vision things in there that I think were really relevant.
Do you think that the security piece of the keynote was timely, given the recent developments in the security?
Yes, I think it is. And, you know, my badge even has the CVE number on it for the Citrix ADC vulnerability that came out right before this. Definitely not good timing for them or anyone. I've got a lot of people in retail that were in change freeze that couldn't change it. But I think it's good. and the products they're doing and the vision they're going for is there. I think it's just going to be execution. It's going to take them a little bit, right? There's going to be road bumps and speed bumps, and this is one of those. When you've had over 166 vulnerabilities in the past 10 years, but you've had 11 exploits, and this is the first exploit in a couple years that's been this severe. So I think it's going to really sink in, and I hope this is that learning experience for them to really know, you want to say you're going to be a security company, you've really got to step it up here and there.
Would you agree that if you say that you're a security company, you're basically painting a target on your back?
Oh, for sure. Who doesn't want that code, right? Who doesn't want to know exactly how it works? Because if you know that Citrix is the leader in this and that, and every Fortune 500, 100, 50, 10 company is using it, then that is the best attack surface you can go after, right? So, it's a big deal.
So would you say, is Citrix a security company, and should Citrix be a security company?
I'd say Citrix is still in that growing phase. I think they're a delivery company, right? Application delivery, network delivery, acceleration, making things better. And, you know, they really emphasized that in the keynote, was talking about trying to make a better work experience with intelligent workspace and trying to save people time and everything there. But as a security company, I think they probably still have a lot more to grow into. But they have a lot of amazing features that I think are going to do with them very well. But they're growing into it.
Is it safe to say that they're well positioned to be a good security company?
They're well positioned. I think the one thing they're going to have to do, like, to really go after it, is they've got to make that Citrix ADC product line easier to make things secure by default and for administrators. Right now, it's a very complicated process to turn on web application firewall, bad IP, GeoIP, botnet protection, all these app QoE settings and denial of service protection. Those aren't just one click, right? And so a lot of people have no idea how to do it, and that means it never gets implemented. And so if web application firewall would have been turned on those AAA servers, those gateways, this would not have been a big issue, right? So
that's a good conclusion. Is there anything else you're looking forward to in the next coming days, something that you'd expect?
For me, it's just meeting, seeing everybody. That's the thing I always love the most about conferences, is catching up with people from all over the world and learning what's working in another country that is not happening here. Is Workspace, Intelligent Workspace, or Product X working in the Netherlands but not in Tennessee? Probably, right? What's going on there, GDPR, all those types of things. But I'm also looking forward to who some of the partner winners are. I always love that. And I love seeing the numbers and the growth. I'm a numbers guy. I like it. It's fun. But then I'm looking forward to seeing what announcements, if any, they're really going to break out on this. So sometimes Summit is known for some sneaky updates where stuff is going to go live and maybe we're going to see tech previews of stuff. We might get shown some stuff there. Sometimes it's all sales-centric, but every now and then there's some sneakies in there. I think the most important part when you come to a Summit or a sales-centric conference is you got to make sure you go to the booth. Because there could be some demos there that you won't see till Synergy in May. So you're getting a couple month head start on it.
So Citrix recently celebrated 30 years in the industry. You're a numbers guy. What role do you think Citrix plays for customers, not today, but in the future?
Oh, I think they're going to keep going. The one thing that was at the keynote today was their five-year roadmap and some of the things that's coming. And I think they've got a really good vision. I think they have a product portfolio that's so broad that if they can get good integration, they can do it, right? And a good price point and a relevant value proposition and everything else. So I think it's going to be good. We'll see.
So we heard David Henschel mention the term or phrase platform repeatedly. He called it an intelligent platform for work. What's your thoughts on that?
I think when I heard platform over and over again today, I think it was so that you didn't say cloud over and over again, is what it was pretty much replacing and displacing. But platform does make sense because all these products do make a platform if you buy the correct SKU and you're deploying it this way and that way, right? So I think it's down the right path, and it's a good way to say it, because otherwise they would have said portfolio, and now they said platform, and they didn't say cloud. I think they said cloud maybe like six times. It was not said a lot. Security was said more, and platform was sold more.
Citrix wants to move from bridge to the past, a technical tech vendor, into a portal to the future, strategic business partner. What would you recommend our listeners that want to join Citrix in that journey?
I think they need to learn about their applications. I think one thing that Citrix admins are known for is, you know, we don't cook it, we just serve it. We're just the delivery model. I think you need to, if you're a Citrix admin right now and hearing this, you need to go talk to your line of business owners. You need to go talk to the users that are actually using it, the people that are running it, because there could be a lot of opportunities that you could provide. And this, those values aren't going to be, and getting to those solutions, Intelligent Workspace is not going to be free. So you need those business owners on board to be able to say, hey, maybe I can save every person 2 hours a day by doing this and that. Is that worth it to you? Yes. Now they'll go to the CIO and say, hey, we can chip in some money for this because it's going to make us see more patients per day, sell more products per day, get more things out the door per day. You know, I mean, it's going to be a good, it's going to be beneficial for the company and worthwhile.
So day two, back again with Patrick. Day two keynote. What do you think about the keynote? Anything interesting that stood out for you? Anything else that you would like to share with the listeners who were not at Summit?
Yep. I think what stood out was women in technology more than anything. Every product demo was done by a woman. Everyone in the woman product management team and marketing and sales enablement, everybody was kind of on showcase there, which was great. They had lots of good demos, funny stories with it. Nothing blew up, right? That's always good. The demo gods smiled upon them, which is always nice. And then from there, I think it was the keynote, like motivational speaker. When she came out there and kind of talked about what she did as a Navy fighter pilot and the things that went on there, I loved her magical drawing of how airplanes go faster, two times faster than the speed of sound, where it actually used magic and air and then more magic here and magical parts. So that's my kind of diagram. And then after that, I was wondering if there was going to be some, you know, usually secret summit announcements, product announcements, but there wasn't really. I mean, it was a lot of showcasing of the same stuff. So that means I think they're holding all their eggs for Synergy, which I think is good. And I think they're going on the right path. This gives them a couple more months to try out Intelligent Workspace, get more momentum, more things as a service. That was one also thing that was showcased a lot in this keynote. Is everything is an add-on, everything is a SKU, it's very multifaceted. So one person won't just have a CVAD SKU anymore and then a Citrix ADC SKU. They're going to have three or four or five.
In a sense, like we talked about yesterday, if Citrix wants to morph into a platform, that is kind of the foundation of becoming that platform.
Totally. I mean, that's the whole foundation to like consumption model, right? I just need three of these and six of those. So I hope some of that stuff, and they use the word decouple a couple times, right? And I hope that really happens for a lot of customers, because trying to figure out if I want premium or premium plus or standard and advanced and enterprise and platinum and all these additions that all come with these certain things, if you can pull some of that apart and get what you need, right? And I hope that some of that doesn't need to be matched for parity, right? That you can have 72 of these and 100 of those on the same license server, on the same tenant to make things work for you.
Typically what you would see with these bundled licensing or bundled products is something that it's created because it's easier for the vendor to manage.
That's right.
Whereas,
less SKUs.
If you use a model where you're modular and can pick whatever you want, you're actually solving a problem for your customer. And yep. How you solve that in the back end, that's like your problem and not theirs. So I guess it's a hard problem to tackle for a vendor, but it absolutely adds value for your end customers.
Yeah. And you know, with Brad coming on the keynote and talking about all the Microsoft synergies and all that stuff between there, I think this message is clear that there's still a good partnership. There's not evil corp or anything like that. So I think it's going well. I do think that there are things that Citrix still provides above and beyond the Microsoft default solutions, which I think is great. I hope they showcase that. I hope Microsoft also showcases it. We're better together. So we'll kind of see how that goes too.
Well, Microsoft always had the strategy of being good enough and then add on from the ecosystem perspective. So Ingmar, what do you think about the additional value that Citrix can bring on top of that Microsoft stack?
So I think it's good that we have, you know, Brad on stage and tell about how they see the world and how they actually, what I really like is that he talked about it's no longer about shipping a product or, you know, it's selling a product that you celebrate. You're celebrating that a product actually gets used, right? It's about meaningful adoption. And I think that's the biggest differentiator that all of us has to maybe not learn, but starting to adopt that. It's not about, you know, here's a product, you know, thank you for your dollars and, you know,
shelfware.
Exactly, and move on. It's shelfware. And if you start looking at it as a product that needs to be used, start adding value, that's what I really like. That he taught the audience, like, hey, this is what we did at Microsoft. And, you know, all our sellers are now being compensated on usage, not on what they sold. And I think that's something which we might see at Citrix as well. But actually, I'd like to, you know, Patrick, what do you think about that from a partner perspective when we talk about adoption?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, usage, that was something that caught me by surprise too, is like compensating based on that. So it's, to everyone's point, is not shelfware. I'm looking forward to see how that is. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of these partners are also wondering that too, because it's all the recurring revenue and then a 1-year contract versus a 2-year versus a 3-year, and then how everything gets spiffed and paybacked and all that. It's a kind of very complicated process. But I do like the possibility of being able to measure usage, right? Because I think that is where it really is. And I was blown away with, you know, over 200 million people using Office 365 and over 20 million people actively using Teams. That kind of, those were some stats that he dropped that I was like, that's huge. I never really heard those numbers.
Well, to be fair, I've heard those numbers, and they are, you know, it's somewhat debated, right? What is meaningful active use, and especially Slack and Teams, and these guys are going back and forth like, yeah, well, how did you measure meaningful usage? Like, did you just launch the application where you're like typing in one chat, or did you have a voice conversation because it replaces
How do you quantify?
Right. And actually, that's a very interesting topic, which I've seen at Citrix, obviously, our work there. And how do you measure meaningful adoption in a product like CVAT or Content Collaboration or Endpoint Management? For each product, you know, meaningful adoption is measured different. And I think for all of us, that's something that we want to measure. And also for the partner, like, how do you measure meaningful adoption? Because it makes you successful, right? If there's meaningful adoption, that means you did a great job and you can move forward on the next project. What are your thoughts on meaningful adoption in the products that you cover normally?
Yeah, no, I think meaningful adoption is a good way to put it, because it's, are they using the things they bought for those tasks? And that comes back to flexibility, as some people are like, I only need Content Collaboration for this business unit, but I need CVAD for everyone, but I want Intelligent Workspace for everyone, even if only 2 or 3 departments are going to use it. That will hopefully catch momentum, right? And I think that's where it starts slow and grow fast, right? And so many product lines that Citrix has. So as a partner, knowing that it's going to grow, I think, is going to be very good. And knowing that they're actually using the product you gave them, instead of just making this big deal, high five, we made quota, and then just move on with your life, right? Know that it's making an impact.
So I want to come back to one of the things you said earlier. Lots of women on stage, you know, women in technology. I think that's great. It's sad that we have to celebrate this, right? Because it should be the default.
It should be yep. Common.
Exactly. This should be the normal. But, well, it isn't. And I was actually, I typed it like 3 times, like a tweet, like, hey, should I say this out loud? Like, this is great. And then I was like, ah, no, this should be the normal. But one thing which stood out for me and was having Donna Kimmel on stage, and I know she's our chief human resource officer. I really enjoyed that she understand the matter and explained, you know, this is, treat me like this. What was your thought when you, I mean, I work for Citrix, so I was like, hey, wow, this is amazing. I normally only see her internally in our global employee meetings, and she really nailed it. But what's your thought on that? Because I'm obviously really biased on this one.
You're really, 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 really biased.
Extremely biased. Then again, I was honestly, you know, blown away by the way she explained it. Like, hey, if I'm chief human resource officer, treat me like this, right? Just talk technology to me and don't do this or that. Was it valuable to you?
Yeah, I thought it was one of those surprises of the keynote that I didn't expect either, because I don't really ever talk to those types of people, right? And when she said that, this is that whole intelligent workspace. If you're going to talk about saving, bringing value by taking these tasks and condensing them with micro apps and stuff like that in the business units, that's the person you need to talk to. Because one of the things is they're the ones onboarding people, right? They're the ones in charge of people. You're in charge of technology. I thought that was a great point for her. And I learned a lot in that conversation, because I never interact with anyone in HR, really.
Would it be fair to say that she might be, like yourself, Ingmar, a little bit biased in the technology stack? I mean, a chief human resource officer talking about micro apps, I'm not sure if that's the standard in modern day HR.
No, you're right. And I think that her main point was not so much on micro apps. It was on employee experience. Like, mm-hmm. So an employee experience is productivity, but the main component is employee engagement. So how engaged are your employees with the organization? And that's something she's been caring for the, you know, the entire time she's at Citrix. So,
I like the story about the all the demos that we saw. The thing that is kind of numbing me is the continuous focus on the Microsoft relationship. We know that you guys are partnering. We know that it's better together. And if I'm honest, Microsoft will be on the next VMworld doing a similar talk. So I understand the why. I'm just not feeling the wow moment anymore that I had when Microsoft came to Synergy or Summit the first time, because they'll do that with VMware, they do it with AWS, they do Google. So, so obviously there is value in the partnership. There is value in having that conversation on stage together. But for me personally, there's not that wow moment anymore. Whereas I'd rather see more women in technology doing demos, seeing the actual products, changing the way that we look at IT, at our users, at our business, and creating more business value. But that's just my personal opinion. What do you think, Patrick?
No, I'd agree. I mean, it's definitely the same dog and pony that we see all the time. And you're right. They go to the next conference and say the same thing. And so, yeah, that definitely is a repeating record that's just on loop. They're still the market leader of the world for operating systems, mail, and productivity applications. So it's like a lot to be said there. And then, you know, they have some gaming and HoloLenses and other random things.
And they had mobile phones for a while.
For like a year and a half or so. I mean, it was a good strong run.
And they're coming back. There's a new Microsoft phone coming. So
based on Android, right?
Yeah, and I guess that goes back to, like, Microsoft is becoming, like, kind of Linux-y, right, with their Chromium stuff and some of the Linux command line stuff they're adding. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting times.
As far as I understand, they're the biggest contributor to the Linux community in the world. So, you know, Microsoft is loving Linux.
They are. And I think, I am impressed by Microsoft, especially under Satya Nadella. The change he made, I'm really impressed. And I agree with you, both you guys, that, again, you know, the partnership with Microsoft Citrix should be a given. The fact that there's value add should be a given. You know, focus on your own strength. I think that should be the default. And again, rather have more women on stage or other diversity. I mean, right. Let's not think there's more diversity than just, you know, women and or male, female, you know, different ages, different religions, etc.
Different geos, different.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a great night.
Can you tell us your name and what's your role and what do you think of Summit so far?
Hi, my name is Jan Tijdgat. I'm a senior consultant at Samoffice and Corlaer in Belgium. I'm mainly doing networking stuff for Citrix. And yeah, Summit has been great so far. There's a lot of new things to discover. Products have been evolving nicely in the last few years. So there's still a lot of work to be done, but I think they're moving in the right direction.
Is there something that you've seen this week that really stood out for you or that really caught your attention?
Maybe it's not one of the things that most of the people attending Summit will know, but Citrix is really moving fast in the cloud native area, and the work that their teams have been doing in that area has really been impressive. If you've seen where they've come from, they've been late to the party compared to other vendors in that space, but the way they are catching up, the way they are treating things and building a new ecosystem around their existing products is really good.
So can you tell the audience why cloud native networking, why is that important? For who is it important and why is it important?
Well, when you're shifting to the new modern workplace, you still have a lot of legacy apps that need to be supported. So that are the areas where CVAT is coming in. But for all the new applications, all new startups, they really have to consider transforming their applications into a microservices architecture, where applicable, of course. It's not like Kubernetes is a one magic trick that solves everything.
It's your silver bullet right there.
Yeah, but it is a way to develop new applications, and by doing that, you're entering a new era of architecture development, sustaining things. And if you combine that with a new product that Citrix has been working on, the workspace intelligence that you can integrate with APIs, it's really a powerful mechanism to glue things together in a new way. So it's really cool.
During the conference, we heard people talk about the new way forward being hybrid. Would you say that cloud native is a mandatory thing to actually achieve that hybrid goal?
Well, mandatory is a hard word. I've been against cloud like forever. Cloud is not the one-trick pony. Like Citrix is actually pushing it right now. On-premises will never go away. Cloud will not go away either. So there will always be the case for on-premises, cloud, multiple clouds, hybrid multi-cloud, and then Kubernetes comes into play. And from my point of view, it's one of the most powerful solutions, because if you can build an application layer which is built on microservices, you can run them on-premises, you can go to the different clouds without attaching yourself to vendor lock-in on each and every cloud, but you have the freedom to move around like the way you would. So for me, that is the future. Will it play out that way? I don't know. I'm not a CTO, yeah, at least.
It sounds like it's the next iteration of server virtualization, where we basically learned a few lessons, and Kubernetes or containerization in general is solving some of those issues. You mentioned that you focus on networking. The last few days must have been interesting for you.
Interesting is a nice word in a way to put it. It's unfortunate that it happens, but it's still software, so there's no way around it. We are working hard to mitigate everything which is out there and trying to gather as much as information as possible to inform Citrix about the current state of the attacks. But yeah, people that haven't mitigated the issue on their NetScalers are hacked. It's not a question if they are hacked, it's how much damage can be done.
So for our listeners, what would be your advice at this point in time for people that either already put in the mitigations in place or are not aware of the potential mitigations?
Well, if you haven't mitigated, now is the time. It's already too late, but now is the time. At least stop the attacks. Do a thorough check on the file system. See what data has been gathered, what access they've got to which files. See if there's running scheduled tasks on the system. See if any data is exported. We have seen exports of complete configs and certificates to Pastebin. So there is a chance that certificates are compromised. So you have to do a thorough check first. It's not a panic reaction, but you have to check everything and then take the appropriate steps. Perhaps renew certificates with new keys, redeploy VPXs. If you're running on a physical NetScaler, that's a harder problem. But there are several things that can be done to check if the mitigation was enough or not.
Okay, then perhaps moving forward as well, what would you recommend customers that either, you know, were not informed about, you know, either the exploit or the patch, and, you know, how should they be better prepared in those situations?
Well, I think at least in the Netherlands, where I do most of my work, many companies are moving towards, it's like a subscription model. People are moving towards managed services more and more. And as the IT landscape is spreading out more and more, you just cannot master everything anymore. So it's really the time to involve specialist partners that can help you assist them in keeping those products up to date. At least then you have a better chance of being informed the right way and yeah, perhaps prevent some damage.
Cool. Thank you. That's just very valuable.
There's also a couple of external services that you can subscribe to, and they're fairly cheap. That will scan like public IP addresses for malware, for potential mitigation options. So that might be one of the additional things you can do, which are low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. Nope. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, there are some of these. I've had a customer in Belgium that has sent me some screenshots about their firewall logging, and it appears that the bigger firewall vendors are now at least able to detect the attack. So
bring it back to Summit. Is there any sessions which you are, you know, planning to attend today, tomorrow, this week, which has really, you know, stood out to you or really looking forward to, which you can, you know, recommend to the audience?
I will definitely go to the cloud native ones and the ones related to ADC, because no matter which product you're using from Citrix, the NetScaler will still be in that central spot to have access to those customers. And even though the CVE breached everything, NetScaler still rocks.
Awesome. And when you say Citrix NetScaler, you mean Citrix ADC, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Here's the marketing guy talking.
The ADC, but yes.
All right, thank you so much. We're going to wrap this up. All right, see you around. So what's your name and what do you do and what do you think about Summit so far?
Awesome. Yeah, so thanks for having me here. So my name is Shane Kleinert. I'm a senior solutions architect for a company called Choice Solutions, primarily out of the Midwest United States. So I'm a an architect for the company. I help lead the Citrix practice, Citrix CTP, and excited to be here at Summit, here with a couple of the team members. I think Summit's going pretty good. I like the overall vibe and energy. Overall, I thought the keynote was okay the first day. I personally, as kind of seen the first day and second day keynote, I would have liked to see some of the cool demos that they did in the second day in the first day and blend that through all the stats, right? There's a lot of stats, which is great, but you know, you want to energize people up the first day. I would have loved to see that micro apps demo and really saw that come weave through the statistics that they showed. Other than that, I thought it was really good, and the messaging around the whole employee experience. Some folks around here are probably laughing, oh, employee experience, you know, la-di-da, but this is really cool stuff and something our company's been looking at for a while now, or a couple of years, actually. So we're excited about it and seeing Citrix take that direction. So, but yeah, that's pretty much what we got going on so far here. Kind of checking, we're actually in the hall right now looking at all the cool sponsor booths. So
is there any session that you attended or planning to attend which you would, you know, looking forward to, or maybe an announcement or, you know, one of the booths which you're looking forward to hear more?
Yeah, so for me, I'm kind of really, really interested in the micro app technology. So I've been going to kind of queuing up the micro apps. I've been doing Citrix for a number of years and apps and desktops, and we're as a company very interested in it. So that's kind of what I've been focused on. I've been going to all the different micro app sessions. There was a really cool session on the White Glove program that they did, which is basically a small program that Citrix put together for key accounts. So we were actually privileged to be part of that. So we had a nice banking customer in Miami, Florida, where we got to work with on the pilot program. So through that, we got to see some cool experiences and lessons learned, and actually saw one of those as part of this presentation. The gentleman that was giving the talk actually showed some hidden URLs for troubleshooting and things like that, those bits and bytes that you only get from those presentations. So it was pretty cool to see that. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, it's interesting, the whole micro app conversation, because it's one of those things that's a different, and I think they were trying to weave that through the keynote, was really that it's not meant to be sold to the traditional apps and desktops folks, traditional IT managers that are out there. And it's really, it's completely mind shift, right? It's more for the folks that have been doing business process automation, robotic process automation. And we joke because we had some guys on the team that have worked a lot with Res, Res Automation Manager, IT Store and stuff. And those are the guys that we're bringing into the technology because they have the know-how to understand the business process, the business logic, and then also the technical aspect. Anyone can code, right? It's really that understanding the business, and that's a completely different conversation, why they mentioned it so much in the keynote about, you know, the CHROs and the different business process folks in the organization. And it's funny, I don't know if you're seeing this too, like when we go into these different organizations, we're seeing like business, they talked about business transformation, digital transformation for years, but we're actually seeing it now, but they have departments that are, those are the departments that are being funded in the organizations. Most recently, there was one in Miami that was the Efficiency Group, and that was their name. And they were around robotic process automation and what they're doing and how much money they're actually making in the business. So that was pretty cool to see that as well. So,
yeah. Thank you for confirming what my opinions were on the keynote. Because to me, especially, you know, I'm a Citrix, so when Donna came on stage, she's our, you know, Chief Human Resource Officer, and I always see her in internal meetings, and I'm like, yeah, so, you know, it's about culture, and she's really passionate about our employee experience, so not about technology, but truly our experience. And to me personally, I was so impressed by the way she can stand on stage and say, look, hey, you know what, I am HR, and this is your new audience, right? And I think you just basically said that right now. It's a new audience, it's a new language. Did you have any takeaways from what you said on stage?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing for me is exactly that. I mean, just seeing that she was not just, sometimes you look at HR, it's just that department that's reminding you about, you know, did you turn in your expense report? So your paid time off, you forgot to sign your HSA documents, and all these different things around your benefits. And really, they're also on board to help ensure that the company is engaged and are excited about what they do. And obviously, there's other departments and managers and leaders in the company that help there, but they're around the overall experience in the company. And I felt like she was up there, and it was nice that she said, hey, everybody, it's okay to know about technology and ask me about technology. You know, I thought that was pretty neat that she said that. And I personally think that it was nice to bring her on stage because that helps validate that, right? And I think going forward, she can help a lot to position like her thoughts and her leadership in the industry and help provide that knowledge to the partners that are in the community as well as the customers to understand how to start taking that employee experience initiative and moving that forward in like organizations. So, I mean, Citrix, they always have like they call it their prod zero environment, right? Is basically the environment in turn where they roll this stuff out. So, I mean, I think that's hopefully that internally they're not just rolling it out as another piece of technology, but instead they're rolling it out as an actual an experience, and they're going around and doing the full assessment internally and following the same process and treating it like an additional, you know, like an actual deployment, right? So, and I don't know if that's, have you actually got the micro apps rolled out to your prod environment?
Yeah, I'm in Prod Zero, so I'm one of those lucky few who actually got this. So to wrap this up, to the listeners who were not able to attend Summit, what would you recommend them if they want to learn more on things like employee experience, HR, micro apps? You know, what are the resources or things that you would recommend?
Yeah, I guess on the micro app. So I guess the audience of this podcast is going to be some partners and customers. So some of the partner folks obviously have like the Sales IQ and things like that. Some of these sessions will be recorded. So I think for those folks, there's recorded sessions and things like that that will help out. Other stuff is Gallup, right? They're basically a huge organization where they do ratings for employee experience and stuff like that. They come out with surveys, and they have some really deep dives and articles and white papers around some of this to kind of get it, you know, get in tune to the initiative. But ultimately, I think the biggest point really is to for everyone to take away is that this is a different, it's a mind shift in how this technology is sold. And I think you have to understand, because we actually went through the pilot, right? So you got to see that. It's very different than end-user computing projects, where we're just working with IT. And some folks take the end-user computing project full circle, where they work with end-users. And we're talking about end-user workflows and walking through that. In this case, you really have to go to every single line of business application. And it's almost each one of those is a mini project. And you have to basically have full-scale project management. You're going to have to go and talk to each of those different departments and, you know, hurdle all those folks to get the exact information that you need to be able to build out that micro app. So the assessment, this design assessment phase is very critical. But what's interesting is those business transformation departments, they understand that because they spend a lot of time doing those things in their organization because that's their number one goal is employee efficiency. So they're okay with that. So a lot of people I talked to some different partners around here and they're freaked out about, I don't think the customer is going to pay for all these assessment services. It's very different than just deploying a desktop and app. So I'm excited about it. So hope that answers your questions.
Definitely. And thank you so much.
It's pretty strong and people are excited about it. So.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of Summit.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll see you around. Can you tell the listeners who you are, what your role is, and what do you think of Summit so far?
Yeah, absolutely. So David Cottingham, I run product management for Workspace Ecosystem. And really my role is around what integrations are we trying to get into Workspace with intelligence and which micro apps, and also getting our developer ecosystem off the ground and providing all the mechanisms they need to extend Workspace. And in terms of, I guess, how am I finding Summit? Obviously, pretty busy. It's a lot of walking around and talking to people, which is great. But I got here on Friday night to do 6 hours of sessions on Saturday, Sunday off, and then Monday and Tuesday were sessions again. So it's been busy.
Wow, that is a very busy week. Glad you said developer. We heard keynote day one. There was a developer conference. What can you tell the audience about the developer conference and why that's such a big thing for us?
Sure. The first thing I could say is it probably gave me more gray hair. It was my problem to get it organized, obviously with a lot of other people as well. And it's the very first time we've had a developer conference as Citrix, which I think shows how Citrix is taking developers seriously compared to perhaps in the past we didn't. We had it in Santa Clara in October last year. I had about 130 people turn up, and it was all about how to build integrations to Workspace, but also had dedicated time in there for actually building them. So hackathons built in. And we had 15 live demos at the end of that on day two of people standing up on stage and giving the demos. We're actually doing Converge in EMEA, so in Prague at the end of March, and in Bangalore at the beginning of April. So watch the space for exact details and how to register for that.
Wow. And that's actually news sharing this. Okay. So again, keynote day one, David Henshall. We heard him repeatedly say the term platform, and he called it an intelligent platform for work. So what does this mean when we talk about a platform?
You know, platforms are something that's kind of the flavor of the month to some degree, right? Everybody talks about platforms, but there's a good reason for that. If you look at there's a great book actually called The Business of Platforms. It was published 2019. And one of the things it talks about is the value you get out of being a platform and the growth rates and the sale rate, all those kind of things are much bigger when you are a platform for obvious reasons, right? Because you have all these other people building on the platform and adding value. And for a customer, having more feature set and so on, then you know you make it more useful, etc. More people use it and virtuous circle. So just purely from a business point of view, it makes a lot of sense. But I think as we move to being much more a cloud company and the integrations we talk about on the MicroApp side or virtual assistant or all these other things we talk about, those are things where by being a platform, we can enable other people to both create features, yes, but also those partners can make money as well because customers have all these legacy or custom apps they need integrated in. Citrix will never scale to integrating every app every customer uses, right? We depend on our partners to get involved. And yes, they'll make good money by providing those services. But the only way we will succeed is by being that platform that other people can build on. So if you like, it's not just a kind of buzzword, it's actually a real part of who we need to become to be successful.
And that also explains the developer conference, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we need to, if we talk about being a platform, the acid test of whether you are a platform or not is whether somebody else is building on you. So you can talk about being a platform, but if you have no third parties building on it, you're clearly not a platform. And, you know, Citrix is not used to doing that, right? There are many companies transitioning from a product to a platform company. We're in that process. I think we're doing well at that. We've held a developer conference. We have more schedule. We're building extensibility mechanisms. We announced this week we've got an integrations catalog. You can go and get a free developer test instance of MicroApps on developer.citrix.com. All these things are kicking off, right? We have an ecosystem team that I'm part of, right? So we're putting real money into this. Now it's very early days. That's fine. But you can see how we're actually investing in being a platform versus just kind of saying we're a platform. And that to me is super exciting.
And it is exciting to me as well. But hey, I work for Citrix, so I'm with you on this one. So today you had a session, which was, if I'm not mistaken, about building MicroApps. Can you tell us a bit more about what was part of that session and why that's so important to us?
Yeah. So a MicroApp is a single business process, or a single workflow like booking holiday or approving expenses or so on. Those are the demos we always show, right? And the reason you want to do that is because if you have... Imagine that photocopier. Some of you have seen the photocopy example where there's the green button. Everybody uses the green button to make three copies, right? They don't use all the other buttons. The MicroApp for the photocopier would be you have a copy MicroApp, right? And so you'd never actually go to the photocopier and see all the buttons. You'd just see the one MicroApp which had that one function. There will be people who live in an application, use it all the time, and use all 100 functions. That's fine. We're not replicating all the 100 functions. We're just saying... If you go into an app and you only use one function, then like, why would we bother giving you all 100 again? We're not asking you to re-implement the whole app in Workspace. We're just saying take the, you know, 4 or 5 functions, implement those as microapps. And the power of that is that you don't incur all the massive switching costs between apps or the confusion or the training. People have gone training courses to use enterprise apps, right? Whereas you don't go to a training course on how to use Facebook or Airbnb, it just works. And we need to get to the point where microapps enable you to just use the functionality that's super simple that you need to use.
So then if we look at our audience, and probably those are, you know, a technical specialist or you know, our partners, customers, what would you recommend them if they want to move to this new exciting space?
So all of the recordings from Converge, our developer conference, Citrix Converge, are online. They're on YouTube. You can go to developer.cloud.com and find those. Obviously, there's a bunch of developer documentation there as well. You can get a free test instance, so go and get your hands dirty. In terms of what I recommend people do, a lot of partners, I think, get a little bit worried about, oh, it's a developer thing. I don't have any developers. You know, number one, it's a drag and drop low code environment, right? So it is actually very easy. You don't need to break out your Visual Studio Editor. But number two, you can start off with just helping customers deploy Workspace with intelligence and the MicroApp service. And then they might say, oh, but I there's an inbox MicroApp, but I need you to add another field. Could you do that for me? Oh, sure. That's drag and drop. That's easy. They might say, can you add another MicroApp? Okay, you need to know a little bit about MicroApps and so on. But it's not too hard. Then they might say, can you build me a new integration? That's a little bit more skill that you need. But you can start at the first piece and you can go along that spectrum. So get your feet wet. Get a test instance. Look at how easy it is to actually make a MicroApp or an integration or customize an existing inbox MicroApp and see what your customers need. But there is a significant amount of money to be made there because there are so many custom apps. The average enterprise uses something like 600 apps, right? we are not Citrix going to be able to do all 600 for every customer. It's going to be thousands and thousands, and that's where partners can come in and sell their services.
That's amazing. So I think when we talk about partners and, you know, getting this into the hands of our customers, it's not just a technology thing, like you have to build it or build the integration. It's also how do you sell this into the organization. And the guys, the people we're talking to are probably not the right audience. And today, keynote day two, we had Donna Kim on stage, who is, you know, Chief Human Resource Officer. I think she did a great job as in, hey, I am HR, and, you know, if you want to engage with me, this is the way you want to do it. Obviously, you know, you had a lot of experience already the last 6 months or maybe even the last 12 months. What did you learn in the last year, which is important for the audience if they want to, you know, sell this into their customers?
I think people need to understand that the reason we do anything IT, it's not for the sake of technology. It's because the customer or the end user is trying to get a job done. And with micro apps, I think that comes into sharp focus because you say, what are you actually trying to do? Oh, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to make three photocopies. Okay, I can help you with that. But if you watch someone and pushing all the buttons on the photocopy, you'd be like, I don't understand what they're trying to do. You know, oh, maybe the task they're trying to do is hit 10 buttons on the photocopy. No, they're trying to make three copies. And if I can help you do that with one button, then great. So the partner needs to go out and understand, I know, shockingly, talk to people and say, hey, what is it that you're actually trying to do? And help them by implementing those workflows in micro apps so that they can get that job done. So it's partners are crucial because they understand what the customers are trying to do and can talk to the customer versus just almost imagine videoing someone trying to do something and they switch between six applications to get a job done. They're not trying to switch between six applications. They're trying to do something. What is it they're trying to do?
That is insightful. Anything else we'd like to share with the audience about Summit for this week, like now, or maybe no, coming weeks, like this is something, is a takeaway for Summit that you must know, maybe outside of Workspace with intelligence?
Oh, I was going to say, actually, that some of the things that the partners have asked me this week have been around, hey, you know, Citrix has done acquisitions before, and sometimes they've, you know, you've kind of given up after 6 months, and how do we know this is not the case with Workspace? So I know my response is Workspace here. You look at how much we're investing in this, we're putting an awful lot of money into, you know, the different teams and microapps. You look at the keynote content around microapps, you look at developer stuff around microapps. This is not something we're going to suddenly walk away from. And it's super important for partners to realize that, if you like, this is how we see the future going. Now, all the virtualization stuff that we do today that is super important to our customers, that's obviously sticking around. We're obviously going to keep investing there. But we recognize that, you know, that's the future too. And I'd love people to be clear on the fact that we're putting a huge amount of effort and time into making sure it's a success.
Thank you so much. And thank you for taking the time for us today.
Cool. Sure.
All right, so we're about to wrap up this episode at Citrix Summit, but before we do, we have one last special guest. With us today is Christian Riley, CTO at Citrix. Christian, thank you for joining us today. We had a number of guests this week who shared their thoughts on the conference. As a CTO, how would you summarize this conference?
Yeah, thanks, Ingmar. My summary is that I think it's been a great event. You know, I have lots of feedback from partners, from our own Citrix people. You know, I think we've got a really good, strong message around what we've been working on for the last couple of years now. It's always great to bring everybody together and talk some more about it to get more feedback. But, you know, from the CTO perspective, I think the work that we've done on workspace networking and analytics is really beginning to come together. It's certainly from a product and a platform perspective is taking shape. And, you know, I think it's beginning to resonate in terms of real practical examples of what it is that we're trying to bring together. So, you know, the notion of workspace, of course, has changed quite a bit over the years. You know, adding in analytics and networking to it strengthens our position, of course. And, you know, hopefully, certainly speaking to people that I've run into this week, they get it, you know, and I think that's always a good validation of what we're trying to do. Long way to go, of course, but, you know, and again, from the CTO perspective, this is not new, right? This is stuff that we've been working on for a while. So it's great to see it come together. It's great to see it, you know, from David's keynote to Tim talking about it to, you know, to Mark Ferrer talking about it. Donna, of course, talking about it. And I think the more that we do that, the better the message gets. And hopefully we can continue to bring that into the customers in 2020 and beyond.
Yeah, right. So on this is resonating. And, you know, you were having conversations with the people here at, you know, at Summit. And also you're meeting with customers all year round. You've got customer councils. I mean, How does this resonate when you talk about things around workspace and, you know, the new battleground around employee experience? You know, how does it resonate?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's interesting, actually. I was talking to somebody yesterday and I recounted that I'd done over 100 CIO meetings in 2019.
Wow.
And, you know, that's a great privilege, obviously, from a learning perspective, but also being able to advocate, and that's a kind of a key word. So the advocation of what we're doing is a two-way street, of course, right? You know, being able to advocate for Citrix, but also to advocate for our customers. And definitely, I would say at least half of those conversations have included examples of where those customers, those CIOs, are very actively involved in what I would either call employee engagement, employee experience, or new ways of working. So I hear those three things: employee experience, employee engagement, and new ways of working. Just exactly as Donna talked about, you know, there's HR people at the table, there are, you know, chief digital officers at the table, there are chief revenue officers at the table, all of whom are focusing on that very thing that David talked about, which is this continued war for talent. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you picked up on that, what he said is over 100 million medium to high skilled positions globally will be unfilled in 2020. Yeah. And so that war on talent is a real, real big issue. And absolutely, the conversations that I have, I wouldn't say that everybody's exactly aligned the same, of course, because industries differ wildly and strategies also are significantly different. But this notion of being able to hire talent, to retain talent, and to make that talent productive is absolutely front and center. So again, great validation of what we're doing. Very different, of course, because it's not selling to infrastructure people. It's selling a business outcome and selling something that, you know, realistically is going to be a foundational piece of how customers think about the changing nature of work. And again, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and it's good to hear that there's a lot of validation in the market, I guess, by analysts as well. And, you know, in those interactions with your customers, and you said, you know, it's CIOs and CTOs perhaps. It's not just the CIO that does this, right? It's a joint effort. You already alluded to, you know, having Donna Kimmel on stage, who's Citrix CHRO. You know, are there any advices or tips you can give on how to involve the other lines of business like HR and probably other departments as well when you're having conversations with those people?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's really interesting in the line of business perspective, and you know, this becomes very clear the more you think about the potential impact of micro apps, of course. So micro apps, of course, we talked about a lot this week, a key element of the workspace with intelligence, of course. And the most interesting thing about micro apps is that they are absolutely putting Citrix in the path of the work process that belongs to line of business. And of course, you know, my background, I spent a long time in enterprise IT and owned the application portfolio for a very large organization. And, you know, applications are there to support work processes, and the work processes are typically owned by the line of business people. So you think about the traditional Citrix, we delivered applications for many, many years in different ways, but we were never really inside of the work process. So you think about, we would deliver the icon for the app. Mm. Now we're actually delivering a way to interact with the real data in the back-end system, in the system of record. So we are actually, by definition, inside the work process. And the more you can make that work process streamlined by micro apps, the more that you can help line of business people to get their end users more productive in the applications that the line of business people own, the more it puts us in that conversation. So I think, by definition, you know, whether we turn up at a customer and there's, you know, the CIO and the CTO and the chief revenue and the chief HR and the chief digital or chief risk or chief compliance, that doesn't happen very often in the same room. But if you think about using employee experience, you know, the CIO, the CHRO, as the way in, it very quickly turns into line of business conversations by nature of what we're doing. So I think it's different, Ingmar, for certainly. It's sort of natural for me because I lived through it a little bit and understood a little bit about what those applications do in a business context. You know, and we're going to continue to have to work with those line of business people because ultimately we are, you know, we're targeting those as the people that we want to be the champions for Citrix going forward.
Right, and that's going to be exciting. So I guess besides just, you know, the new battleground employee experience, there's a lot of, I'd say, good things happening, interesting things happening with networking, with cloud-native networking and, you know, microservices. Now, would it be fair to say that, like, cloud-native networking is essential in the new application architectures, you know, microservices and all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we've got to be careful, I think, not to forget that there's a lot of underlying infrastructure that supports the things that we're talking about, of course. You know, I think one of the trends that we've seen over the last few years has been the steady rethinking of application portfolios in organizations. And of course, there's been lots of different strategies that we've seen. Customers retiring some traditional or legacy applications that they may have developed themselves in favor of either buying commercial software or subscribing to SaaS services. Yet at the same time, you know, I would say that we've also seen a lot of customers who have become very involved with creating applications for their business in very new ways. And so if you think about the conversations we've had this week around hybrid multi-cloud, the way I like to think about that, of course, is that there really isn't a workspace scenario, you know, for web apps or for mobile apps or for apps and desktops across different clouds that doesn't benefit from the Citrix networking technologies. And I think if you play that out to where we're seeing different applications either be developed, deployed, operated, that includes SaaS, of course, as we mentioned, but it also includes brand new application architectures, like you mentioned, with microservices. And of course, that does come with a whole set of new requirements for networking security performance, which is why I think I'm really excited about ADM. Because when people really begin to understand the value of ADM, we can really see that longer term, that you have this single pane of glass to define, to deploy, to operate and manage very, very high numbers of instances of the cloud native networking technologies, right, which are required in the microservices world.
And for the audience who doesn't know what ADM is.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Application Delivery Manager.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, we like to talk in acronyms.
Yeah, exactly. So just,
Yeah, Application Delivery Manager, which, we talked about in the keynote. So if people haven't seen the keynote, PJ touched on it on the day two keynote. So definitely worth another look at. But again, it's kind of part of the evolution, the way that we see the evolution of Workspace with Intelligence as an evolution of Workspace itself from a couple of years ago. So we look at hybrid multi-cloud as an evolution of the great networking technologies that we had with ADC and Gateway and more recently with SD-WAN, but bringing in new services that are required for new applications, and ultimately it's always been about the apps, right. And as they change, so must we think about new ways to provide enabling infrastructure and or microservices, micro apps, micro workflows, and I think it makes a ton of sense because that's where customers are headed.
Cool. Yeah, so I think evolution is the key here, right? So applications are evolving, the architectures are evolving. But also, the workforce is evolving into, a different audience or new generations. Everyone will have a different way of working. So I think, myself, I had to read up into employee experience. It's something we talk about a lot, productivity, engagement. But for the audience who's not really connected with the terminology and really understanding what is employee experience, why is this such an important topic to talk about, what would you recommend the listeners who are interested in that, that new industry?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the way sort of we look at it in terms of employee engagement is really around, or employee experience, should I say, is really around productivity and engagement. And I think any time that you can provide technologies that people want to use, and as technologists, we kind of always look at the things that have been successful. And from a product perspective, we think about products that have become habit forming, as an example, right? So, you and I both use social media extensively. And, the interesting thing about social media is that you don't think about using it. It's just become part of what you do. So I think any sufficiently easy to use technology that has some perceived value, however you define value, is equally important to think about in the enterprise context. So as you mentioned, you're exactly right. We're seeing a lot of younger people come into the workforce, of course. We're seeing a lot of just different ways of working, whether that's through contingent workforce or gig worker, all of which requires IT to sort of rethink the way that they provide the essential services that those different groups of people need. So the basic thing that we're trying to get to here is that if we can allow a much easier overall end user experience, and by that we don't just mean the infrastructure pieces that make the performance better, of course that's a key part, but we talk about the micro apps, we talk about Workspace with Intelligence, we talk about removing all of the laborious and difficult things that you need to do to get your job done, then you know what it's like, right? We all do that. You can be working on something, you can be really enthused because everything's just humming, the technology, your thought process, everything's great. And then we have other days where we're constantly interrupted, whether it's you and I pinging each other on Slack or whether it's getting text messages from the kids or whatever it is. And so I think the idea is that, we focus on how to make the technology so simple to use that it does improve the productivity and makes people want to actually do good work. Right. So, we spend a lot of time doing bad work. Right? And I don't mean bad in terms of our performance. I mean just bad stuff that doesn't add any value, yet we've become accustomed to doing it and it takes a long time and it's difficult. So I think anytime you can approach all those things is really a focus on the productivity, on the engagement, and ultimately the overall experience. And but I would say, Ingmar, I think one of the examples that we see over and over again is that, you know, employee experience is not just about enabling technology. It's about the culture of an organization. It's about the physical workplace. It's about the rules and regulations and policies. You know, and organizations are simply going to have to change, you know, whether it's to enable more remote work or more flexible work. It's an absolute must. And of course, you know, we'd like to think we have the technologies to help along the way.
Thanks, Christian.
It's a pleasure.
Really appreciate you taking the time for us today.
Anytime. Thanks a lot.
And with that, we're going to wrap up this episode of the EUC Digest. Overall, I really enjoyed Citrix Summit. But then again, you know, I work for Citrix. I am maybe somewhat biased here.
Oh, sure you are, man. But I think you're right. Based on the interviews and the people that we spoke this week, not just at this podcast, but also with the booth and people attending, it's clear that people got what they expected. So thank you all for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this extra snack from Citrix Summit. If you have anything to add here or just want to stay in touch, reach out to us on the social channels or by email on podcast@eucdigest.com.
Okay. Cheers, guys.